Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
As I just said there, I mentioned that Leo Varadkar has said don't book flights for Christmas. And Paul Lynham is in Wexford's immediately onto us. Darren Ennis is onto us. He's in Brussels. Paul in Wexford. First, you heard the tarnish there. What was your reaction, Paul?
I couldn't believe. I mean, it feels like there's a sort of no humanity, Joe. I have two young adults in the UK, mm-hmm. one in Cardiff and one in Falmouth. Now, we've already booked our flights because prices are going up exponentially. My son is in Falmouth. He also has autism. And he's had one flight, an internal flight, already cancelled. He was on to his last night and he was in a bit of a state because we try and get him kind of do the shortest point possible for him because he has orientation issues. He now has to go get a train from Cornwall to London and make his way through the mm-hmm. London transport system out to Heathrow. And he's already over mm-hmm. the walls about that.
And Paul, just to come down to the other side, where would your son and daughter spend Christmas if they couldn't get home?
Well, he would be on his own in a house in Cornwall. And my daughter's in student accommodation in a room that's maybe 15 foot long by 8 foot wide. And that's where she would be spending her Christmas. Because everybody else would be gone home because she's technically in the UK. She's seen as an international student. Everybody else would be pretty much gone by Dubai and she'd be on her own.
But when you heard what the tarnisher said, did it come as a bombshell to you?
I just can't believe the lack of humanity, to be honest.
Well, you heard what the tarnisher said. He was watching Reading in the Years or something the other night and he saw that in 1967. I think he was about...
But Joe, it's not 1967, it's 2020. We're fully aware and fully understand.
No, basically what he's saying is if we could say to people, don't come home for... Now, it's a different demographic of emigrant then, I suspect. Yeah. If you could say to people in 1967, don't come home because of foot and mouth, you'd be bringing foot and mouth. His argument was, well, why can't we say to people this year, don't come home and save the country from coronavirus, though... We've now discovered most of the coronavirus in Ireland came from Spain. So who are all the people who went on holiday to Spain in May, June, July and August and landed us in this?
It wasn't me because myself and my wife are frontline workers, Joe.
I know, I take your point, Paul.
And we're fully aware of all that needs to be and all that needs to be done. Our two children are fully aware of all that they need to do when they get home. They will quarantine. They always wear face masks when they're out. They both carry hand gels when they're out and about. Do you know, this is just common sense in terms of, you know, kind of a common sense approach to the whole thing. But to say to people that, you know, kind of like, we haven't seen our son since August, haven't seen our daughter since September.
Okay, I'll stay there, Paul, come back to you, I promise. Darren Ennis, okay. Darren, you're right. In Brussels, you heard the tarnish as well.
Yeah, I did, Joe, indeed. And look, first of all, I want to say I realise the government tarnished the Taoiseach and everyone is dealing with unprecedented times. However, the only thing to say is you've hit the nail on the head there, Joe. There is a clear difference between people and holidaymakers, which were prioritised during the summer months, and expats and people who live abroad. And it's linked as well to the word essential travel. For many of us who mm-hmm. have, you know, sick relatives, family, etc., it is essential travel. It's not going to a beach in Spain or Greece. We mm. want to be able to go back and visit our family. My daughter wants to be able to see her grandmother and her cousins, etc. Not just at Christmas, but, you know, at other times. And that's there needs to be a differentiation there. Mm. I would also like to point out, this morning I was on the phone to the private clinic here in Brussels to try and pay for and organise tests on behalf of my family. I think most expats and their families of people in Ireland who have children abroad don't have a problem probably paying money to have the tests, adhere to the rules. I'll give you a very just last clear example, Joe. Last summer, I met my parents. They're in Leixlip. They travelled up and we met in a shopping centre in Newry. We travelled over to the UK because we wanted to stick to the rules. When we talked to the HSE helpline and the DFA helpline, the last message we were left with was, well, actually, there is no enforcement and it is up to yourself. Most expats living abroad and the diaspora will stick to the rules and have no problem trying to do what's the right thing. They just want to have clarity and a system
that we can work with, so we can see our family. Okay, just for people who didn't hear, this is the clarity that Tánaiste gave today.
I think in terms of people booking flights for Christmas to come home, I advise them not to do that at the moment. I know that's difficult. I know that's tough. But Christmas is 6 weeks away, and it's too soon now, I think, for people to be booking flights to come home.
Paul, have your family booked flights to come home?
They're already booked, and they're already booked because within 24 hours, the price of a seat went up 70 euro.
Some people are saying, well, was foot and mouth mentioned? I'm sure it was. I heard it. We'll try and find out if it was mentioned. But the foot and mouth happened in 1967. Well, there's been a subsequent outbreak, but Tánaiste wasn't born then, but that's neither here nor there. Paul, but you say you're making the point that the Tánaiste says 6 weeks is too soon. You're saying 6 weeks is too late.
It's way too late. Prices alone, Joe, are going up 70 and 80 quid per day. Now, that's per day. And there's a limited amount of seats available. And the airlines, believe you me, they are going to crucify people. Because they also have to try and make some money somehow. Okay? Now, within 24 hours, that was one seat was 70 quid. Now, for my son, we had to book two flights. But that would have been another 140 euro. On top of if we had waited another 24 hours.
Okay, well, this is the full argument that Tánaiste put forward. 1857 15
I think in terms of people booking flights for Christmas to come home, I advise them not to do that at the moment. I know that's difficult. I know that's tough. But Christmas is 6 weeks away. And it's too soon now, I think, for people to be booking flights to come home.
Thank you, Tánaiste.
I was watching Reeling in the Ears the other day, Ciarán Cóirle, in 1967, there was a foot and mouth outbreak in England. People were asked not to come home, and they didn't. And foot and mouth didn't come into Ireland. I'm not saying it's the same, but certainly we're not in a position at this point to advise people that it's safe to come home for Christmas. And I know that's a tough message to hear, but that is the case at the moment.
Darren, it's a tough message to hear.
It is a tough message, but it's also sadly a mixed message because we heard from other ministers this week, including the Minister of Europe, telling us another thing. And that's why that gentleman probably went and booked these flights. Most people abroad have been listening to the messaging till today. Mm-hmm. And now again, the message changed. It was exactly the same in the summer. Now, you know, here in Belgium, you can land at the airport, you get tested, you know, there's you know, there are systems that can be put in place. We're not asking for any exemptions. We're not asking for any special rules. We're just asking the government to put in proper systems, number one, clear systems, and most importantly, to what we are asking is a prioritisation of expats who have a valid reason to travel home terminology as what's described as essential travel, because I understand what's essential travel for one person is not for another, and that's I think all we're asking for is, you know, a proper clear roadmap from the government to the diaspora, the same diaspora that, you know, I'm not being funny, but we're asked to put candles in windows, we're asked to, you know, promote our country abroad. And we play the diaspora card what we're asking for, Joe, just my last point is a clear roadmap and a clear road ahead for the diaspora that live abroad from the government as to when we can go home and putting in a system that is safe for us to come back and visit our friends and family. That's all we're asking for.
Okay, stay with us, Darren. Gail Hanbridge. Gail, good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. Yeah.
I was livid listening to people there talking about, you know, they want their family to come in from another country. My sister lives 40 miles away from me in Dublin. I've seen her twice over the summer, kind of once a month, with my only niece and nephew I have. And we haven't gone into our parents' house once since March.
Wow.
And these people are talking about coming into, flying into airports to come into this country, when people like me and my close-knit family have not gone into our parents' house. Because we're following the guidelines. We're not going past the 5 kilometres and visiting and having barbecues in the summer in and out. So I'm absolutely livid that people think they can come in. Spain is where all the cases came, from the people coming
in. Well, the majority of Garden to
the
Mosque,
majority of
60%.
The majority, 60% is a huge percentage. So this Christmas, despite my parents living 20 miles away, I won't be in their house for Christmas.
And do you remember 1967 that Leo
Varadkar... well before my time.
Okay.
But my parents, when I was growing up, always spoke to me about, in 1967, they were living in the UK. They couldn't come home for Christmas because they wouldn't have been welcome in the country coming in. And that's how we should think. These people shouldn't be welcomed in with open arms, because if they are welcomed in with open arms and they all go visiting all their relatives and everything, we will be locked down again into the start of January. So that'll be 3 lockdowns in less than 12 months.
Well, it looks like if we don't sort Donegal out, for example...
Yeah.
Which has been on level 5 longer than anywhere in the country, and has still got a rate twice. You know, we can't even sort our own country out, so to speak.
No, listen to me, Joe. I went on my holidays to Northern Ireland this year, and it was an absolute disgrace. I was there keeping 6 feet away from everybody. People were in on top of it. There was no, nobody was wearing masks. Shop assistants had no screens in front of them. I let my children into one shop in the 5 days we were up there to buy their school bags. And I said, there's no way, if I buy a pint of milk, I'll go in on my own.
Wow.
Because it was, and I came down, and everybody I met for 2 weeks after that, my children were sick of listening to me, saying, it's a time bomb up there. They had the, where you could get 50% off your meal. Mm-hmm. Every cafe, restaurant, everything was jammed between Monday and Wednesday. I didn't go in because I had more sense. But we were up there for years. Gosh, they're very busy Monday to Wednesday. What's going on here? And then we realised what it was. Absolutely wedged the place was. So, you know, you could see it coming, and I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, but Helen, Gail, you can see, Helen, I'll come to you in a second. Gail, you could see it coming up the north, and it has come. It's come to Donegal, it's come to Monaghan.
Yeah.
Apparently, the taxis in Monaghan are run off their feet, running groups over into the north for pubs and parties.
I well believe it. I was actually gobsmacked. My friends were all, I'd say, sick of me talking about Northern Ireland. But it has come to pass, you know. So I didn't go into the coffee shop, but you're walking by.
Okay,
no,
so let me put your argument then to Darren and Paul. Darren, do it for the good of the country. Stay in Brussels.
Look, I'm not going to get into an argument. That lady as well, you know, I fully appreciate her position, and you know, we all have to take a collective and our own responsibility. She mentions those people from Spain. What I'm pointing out is that there is a clear difference between a holidaymaker and an individual who wants to go back.
Yeah, but there isn't.
There is a clear difference. And all I'm asking is,
what is the difference, Darren?
There is no clear guideline.
Yeah, but isn't the problem
the
that there is no clear guidelines, because there is no clear trajectory of what way coronavirus is going in 25 counties in this truncated republic, so to speak. In 25 counties, the virus is going down. In one county, it's double the rate of every other county in the country, and is going through the roof in terms of numbers, even though they're on the same level of lockdown and indeed have been on it for longer. So this no one can predict. That's my point. No one can predict the trajectory. This is not a predictable illness in terms of our virus, in terms of dealing with it. Isn't that the problem, Darren?
Well, can I get in there,
Joe? The point is, Joe, that but if that's the case, why did Ireland, why did the Irish government sign up to the EU traffic light system and the EU system? You know, yesterday in the Irish Times, there was a very, very detailed and very, very informative Q&A, which I think most of us would have looked at and in great detail and gone along, right? So this is what we're saying. If the message is from the Irish government, we're not welcome at Christmas and we're not to come home at Christmas, then send that clear message. I know Leo Varadkar has done that today, but we can't be clear that that's going to be the message tomorrow.
Well, it's a pretty...
Then
it's
we
a
will
pretty...
deal with that. Then our families in Ireland will understand that, right? And we can handle it. But at, since the summer...
Okay, you're saying... Okay, well, okay, would you...
Okay,
you made that point earlier. Gail, you want to reply.
Yeah, I'm a believer in the common good, that we have to do everything as a community. I can't decide that I want to go to Paris on my holidays and bring my children and my husband there just because I feel like it. You know what I mean? We have to think of the whole community. He's this man, that my gentleman is saying he'd like to come home. But, you know, I'd like to go and visit my parents 30 or 40 miles away.
He wants to see his mother. Darren wants to see his mother.
And you know what? I completely understand
that. And she nearly died last year.
And I completely understand that. But he has to think of the whole community. You know, it's just... People have to think of the common good rather than everything else. And the reason they can't... Leo Varadkar has basically come out and gave everybody the heads up today. He's trying to do it subtly.
Well, you see, what Darren and Paul are saying, he's throwing the cat among the pigeons. He mentioned foot and mouth, but did he put his foot in his mouth? Because he's now cast doubt on... There's no clarity. Surely it should Surely it should be the Taoiseach or the CMO or Paul Reid should be saying, no, don't book any flights for Christmas. It was the Tony she said. No, he's the Deputy Prime Minister. Helen, I'll come back to you, Gail.
Come here, Joe. I actually have to go now, but thank you for taking my call.
And thanks for making the call.
Leo has been, he's kite flying. He's letting you know before he makes the announcement.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for making the point. Thanks, Gail.
Good luck to everybody. Bye-bye.
Yeah, mind yourself, Gail. Helen, your point, please. joe@rte.ie is a simple email from anywhere in the world. Helen, I'll be back after this break. 51551, my friend.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And joe@rte.ie, this is what the Tarnish has said within the last hour, apparently, which is upsetting people.
I think in terms of people booking flights for Christmas to come home, I'd advise them not to do that at the moment. I know that's difficult. I know that's tough. But Christmas is 6 weeks away. And it's too soon now, I think, for people to be booking flights to come home.
Thank you, Tony.
I was watching Reeling in the Ears the other day, Ken Corla, in 1967, there was a foot and mouth outbreak in England. People were asked not to come home, and they didn't. And foot and mouth didn't come into Ireland. I'm not saying it's the same, but certainly we're not in a position at this point to advise people that it's safe to come home for Christmas. And I know that's a tough message to hear, but that is the case.
But the thing is, if it's not, you mentioned foot and mouth, you mentioned 1967, then you say, I'm not saying it's the same. Well, then why did you mention foot and mouth? Helen, you agree with the tarnisher. Helen's gone again. Dorothy Goslin, Dorothy.
How are you?
You're listening to the people that are upset in Brussels and people with relatives in the UK. Go ahead, Dorothy.
Well, I just, you know, it's just been an awful year for everybody and everybody just wants to come home for Christmas. But just because you want something, even though I've total sympathy for people away, but you just can't have what you want this year. And even... like, to wait for clarity from the government, it's a bit like going back to the rugby match, should we have it, shouldn't we have it? It should be in everyone's character to say, this just isn't a year to come home.
But remember what happened. People forget that, but it'll come up when the inquiry is held on why 30, 40, 50 people are dying in nursing homes. But one of the things about the rugby match and the dithering over the rugby match, they eventually cancelled the rugby match, but they allowed all the fans to come for a jolly in Dublin from Italy, North Italy, a lot of them, which was the hotbed of the virus back in March. They allowed all the travellers to come. The spectators came.
That's the thing. Nonsense. Everything you do,
lunacy.
Then you have a post-mortem afterwards. So People want to come home for Christmas.
So you say you agree with Tomás Ryan of TCD. He's been on this programme numerous times. He said postpone Christmas for a month.
Oh, no, I'm not saying postpone Christmas. I think it just has to be a different Christmas. It can't be the same Christmas you want. We still can have the Christmas spirit.
Well,
how?
You see, if they say that there's even more, greater lack of clarity, rather, today when they're saying people should, the messages coming out under the door are, well, maybe we should say to people, stick to your family over Christmas. Now, what does that mean? Your six brothers and sisters, your nieces and nephews?
Family. Yeah, well, I haven't seen my brothers in a year. Kids are only in the back garden. I've been cocooning really since January. So we've all, there's been a lot of people having very tough years, but that's, you just have to suck it up and get over it and get on with it.
Well, are you prepared to spend, the answer I presume is yes, Dorothy. Are you prepared to spend Christmas Day just with the people that are in your cocoon at the minute, in your home?
Yes. I wouldn't, I haven't met friends in
Well, what about your, did you mention grandchildren?
I have a grandchild that I've only seen walking in the park, really.
Okay.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough.
But what did you say, suck it up?
Suck it up and get over it. We're all beginning to sound like Trump at this stage. It's just one of those
Don't
years.
Say that. Don't say that.
No. Well, you just have to do what you have to do, Joe.
Yeah. Rebecca Faulkner's there as well. Rebecca, what's your situation? It's your... Oh, Patricia, sorry. Rebecca
Joe,
is our producer.
Just, I just find it hard to hear you there.
Okay.
Yeah, my daughter is in Bermuda for the last 3 years, and they had planned on coming home in July for, she was to be bridesmaid at a wedding, but that was all cancelled.
Okay.
They couldn't get home, and they were hoping to get home at Christmas, but they got an email from the consulate to say that they wouldn't be let back in through America because they're coming from a red country, either England or Ireland, and BA have cancelled their flights out of Bermuda. And on post isn't delivering any parcels to Bermuda.
Why not?
They just said they're not.
Okay, go back to the flights.
Yeah.
There would be a stopover. How does she normally get home from Bermuda?
She normally flies either to Boston or New York.
Okay, it's a stopover.
And then gets another flight into Bermuda.
And they're saying?
That she won't be, if she comes home at Christmas here, she won't be able to go back in through the States.
Oh, she'd be marooned here, in other words.
Yeah, that she wouldn't be allowed in because she's coming from a red country.
Exactly. So what do you think of what Tatanish has said? Forget about booking flights for Christmas at this stage.
Well, I kind of agree. Everyone has to be realistic and, like, everybody is suffering. And, we'd all love everyone to be home for Christmas. But it's just not happening. We all would have loved to go on holidays this year. That didn't happen. This is just a year like no other year, and we just have to deal with it and get over it, and hopefully next year will be different.
And what about Patricia, and I'll ask Dorothy as well, what about relaxing, so to speak, trying to get back, say, to level 3 or level 2.5 in December, where restaurants and wet pubs would be open and you could travel outside the county?
No, I don't think restaurants should be open. I think... I think the minute they open, we're opening everything up again. And I'm the same with football matches and everything. Like, we can see teams are being tested and they're positive. And it just shows that by people going out and doing those sort of sports, that it is bringing it back. So it is. So I think we need to knuckle down and just do what we're told.
So you say stay on level 5 until we suppress it almost completely.
Like, level 5, okay, we go to level 3. Does that mean pubs and everything is open again?
Some pubs. Well, on level 3, pubs were closed in Dublin, but wet pubs were open outside Dublin and they could have people inside and indeed outside. Then change outside, 15 outside, and now it's takeaway only.
I just think we need to stay at home. Like, I've my mother who's 87, and I'm trying to keep her out of hospital and keep her healthy and visiting her. She's living on her own, so she is, and we're in and out to her and keeping her healthy. And she'd be my main priority, and we wouldn't be mixing with anyone that would put her in jeopardy.
Yeah, but, and I know the other argument is the economy is in flitters, to say the least. Flitters. Like, I was listening to a radio station in New York last night, and 100,000 restaurants have shut down across the USA that will never reopen. that will never reopen. Can you imagine the number of jobs there and the whole fabric of rich tapestry of life? John McNamara. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And you're in Saudi Arabia. Did you hear what Tánish said about if you're booking flights today, forget about it for Christmas?
Well, Joe, I booked my first flight to come home for April for my dad's 82nd birthday, and I had to keep cancelling it because I was following guidelines. And also, we were in lockdown in Saudi Arabia. Anybody who travels home long distance books their flights significantly in advance. We are also subject to very strict rules for travel, i.e. a PCR test before we travel.
Okay.
But that, I'm missing the point. I'm of the opinion, I remember what has kept me sane is Christmas and Irish radio, because we have lived in, I haven't seen my family since February. My parents are elderly in Cork. They're in their 80s, and I wanted to visit them. One quite ill. I haven't seen my own children. And you know what I find shocking? Leo Varadkar didn't put the same energy into stopping people going to Cheltenham. He didn't put the same energy into reacting to Ryanair's ad for we're back up and flying in July, go on holidays. The Irish expatriate people are, we're all very lonely. We're missing our family. Mm-hmm. We do not want to bring COVID to Ireland. I know people will be. I'm very, very happy to be subject to any PCR test, to be subject to any form of quarantine. But please don't tell me I can't come home after 10 months. Please don't tell me I can't visit my parents after I do a quarantine period. And, you know, this is a very personal opinion.
Yeah.
Leo Varadkar is just floating a kite to probably detract attention from something else in politics at home. But certainly he needs to think before he puts his foot in his mouth and cause so much pain and hurt to people who are living abroad. Irish people who are forced abroad, by the way, due to economic circumstance. We'd all love to be working at home. We can't.
But you're saying...
And I also want to say...
Yes.
Yeah. Saudi Arabia has handled in an exemplary manner COVID-19. We all wear masks in public. We all follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
We all obviously like you, everybody wash their hands. We follow the rules. The only difference between Saudi and Ireland is schools have not opened. They're online, and so are colleges. Obviously, there's two different cultures. There's no pub culture here, obviously, but restaurants are fully open here. Businesses are fully open here.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Joe.
I should be conscious of the delay more. But just a couple of points, John. One, can you expand on when you say your people are lonely?
Yes. you can't hug someone here. There's culture things. You can't see your family. Skype is important, and it is really important. And when you have a parent, it's not the same. And I tell you, I hear it. I understand fully, because I can tell you why. My sister is a true hero. She's a nurse in Cove Community Hospital. Mm-hmm. They've kept COVID-19 out because of community support, and all the nurses and medical people around the country have done incredible work. But I can't see people. I can't talk to people. I physically haven't met an Irish person since the 22nd of February of this year.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Because we are restricted. Number one, we were nearly 3 months where we physically couldn't leave the building unless we were going for an essential service like shopping.
Mm-hmm.
There was a an app system where you got permission to leave. You could stay out for 4 hours and you'd come back in. And I lived on my own.
Wow.
Human contact is very important. I don't underestimate my sacrifice, by the way, is small in comparison to the heroes in the front line in Ireland. It's very small. But what has got us through the year is the hope, and looking forward to hugging our family members or seeing them at Christmas time. I think Leo Varadkar needed to sit down and think as part of a plan before he opened his mouth.
And
what really upset. Yep, sir.
Have you booked?
Yeah, I have a flight booked, yeah.
Yeah, you have a flight booked. Okay.
I'm due to arrive in Dublin on the 21st of December. And flight plans aren't easy nowadays. What was a simple flight, say, through, and you'd have seen, I have a 12-hour transit because of the way I have to do it. And flights have been shuffled around with various carriers because of capacity issues. But, yeah, I mean, everybody knows, even people living in the UK, people who are travelling home tend to book a little bit in advance.
I know.
You know?
And what...
Sorry, Joe.
COVID rates in Saudi Arabia?
I don't have them up the top of my head, but right, I have a fair idea.
Okay.
In that basically they'd have 350,000 cases, but roughly. But remember, the population here is about 35 million. But the average daily case for the last 3 weeks is of the order of about between 350 and 450 cases per day. So that would put it in perspective for a population that's seven times what it is here. Also, the death rate is a lot lower. And now it's I always think it's very unfair to compare countries with countries.
Of course,
to be very careful. I think every country has done its best. And they're trying really, really hard.
Well, the death rate, I'm just looking at a worldometer here. The death seems to be reliable. I've been told the death rate in Saudi is 5,605 from 350,000 cases. That's a 2% death rate. We're just unfortunately approaching 2,000 deaths here in the Republic with a population of 5 million. If you were to, and again, I take your total point about stats, the death rate here in Ireland from COVID is double, at least double what it is in Saudi Arabia. But you're saying, John, you are agreeable to landing at Dublin Airport with a letter to say you've had a COVID test within the previous 48 or 72 hours, which has given you the all clear.
And not only that, I'm also would be in agreement to taking another test and going into quarantine till the results come out. And by the way, at my own cost, it's not an issue.
Okay.
When the system, by the way, for coming in and out of Saudi first started, the borders were completely closed from the 15th of March to the 15th of September. No move whatsoever in or out of the country.
Wow.
You could exit, but now you can come back in. But the rule for coming back in is a PCR test before you travel. A PCR test on arrival, which is free of charge, linked to you book it through your phone app, and you quarantine until you get the result. So I don't think it's the part. I mean, we have some fantastic people working in IT in Ireland. I would take great pride in telling people about IT in Ireland, that we can't have a system where people have to have an app. They have to book in. As a person who I haven't been home for 10 months, I have no issue with paying for it. I can understand how it can become a big issue for families if you're travelling with young children and people. And, of course, that needs to be borne in mind as well, Joe.
Okay, other people. Stay there, John, if you can, please. In Saudi Arabia, we people who also are upset about what the Taoiseach said. The timing of it and the way it's been delivered. And back to this whole argument about the government's communication strategy. 51551 Washington.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
This is the latest government announcement about travel for Christmas.
I think in terms of people booking flights for Christmas to come home, I'd advise them not to do that at the moment. I know that's difficult. I know that's tough. But Christmas is 6 weeks away, and it's too soon now, I think, for people to be booking flights to come home.
Thank you, Tony.
I was watching Reeling in the Ears the other day, Ken Corla, in 1967, there was a foot-and-mouth outbreak in England. People were asked not to come home, and they didn't, and foot and mouth didn't come into Ireland. I'm not saying it's the same, but certainly we're not in a position at this point to advise people that it's safe to come home for Christmas. And I know that's a tough message to hear, but that is the case.
Is it not fair to say, 1967, most emigrants who came home from the UK, where there was a massive foot-and-mouth outbreak, they would have been from rural Ireland. As I say, Leo Varadkar wasn't even born then. He's still a very young man. But anyway, Linda Walsh in Tramore. Linda, you heard the comments there by the Taoiseach.
I did indeed, Joe. And listen, thanks a million for taking my, or for having this call. I am absolutely disgusted with the in relation to what has been happening, because I feel as a parent of two young people who are working abroad, they're both primary school teachers, that like nobody seems to be listening to the distress this is causing to families in general. Our one hope was that both of them could come home for Christmas, and I'm still hoping that that will happen, because I really think the Taoiseach needs to look at this in more perspective of mental health and what's going on for people in the country. Because I can only say, as a worker in this country, and both my children have worked here before, they are Irish citizens. As far as I'm concerned, they're very entitled to come back to their own country, I would hope. Because the fear is that this is getting to be almost like, a them and us situation. And that's really, really
And
bad.
Who's the them and who's the us?
I just feel like that, like, the Taoiseach and the government in general are putting things in place.
That's
and they're
the
not
them.
Really thinking about... Yeah, exactly.
And the us is the,
and I
yeah.
think if many people in government maybe had people abroad and that kind of thing, they would certainly have thought about this before they put it, or before they put it out there in the public eye.
And had your... I know you haven't seen one of them in 18 months, but had they plans to come home?
Oh, absolutely. It's the only thing that's keeping us going. I haven't seen my daughter since August, and then we have our son in 18 months. We haven't seen him. He's in Tokyo. And this is his one. He tried to come back in March, and obviously
course,
the first lockdown
that's
came.
That's coming through a lot from a lot of people. They tried to come back earlier. They said no. They had to abandon, obviously, and then they said, well, at least we have Christmas to look forward to. And now the Taoiseach said, remember 67. He doesn't, but he was looking at a TV programme about it. Remember 67. Pauline O'Brien in Edenderry. Pauline.
Hello. Hello, Joe.
What do you think of what the Taoiseach has said? Don't book any flights for Christmas.
Well, I can understand where he's coming from. I haven't been home to the UK since last September. I've got an 87-year-old mum that I haven't seen since then. And obviously, normally, I would have been over two or three times in between. But it's the fact that it's not a problem once I get to my mum's, because obviously I would isolate there. But it's who am I going to come into contact en route?
So you're prepared to say no?
Well, because the last thing, can you imagine how I would feel if I went over to see her and I picked the virus took the virus to her. So we obviously, I haven't been over since, as I say, last September.
So you're saying what the Taoiseach said was helpful?
Well, I can't say it's helpful, but I can appreciate where he's coming from. That, you know, the amount of travel between countries, I don't think this virus is going to go away until, you know, there is a lockdown on the airports. Because
we can't even... OK, how can we manage to get it down so dramatically in 25 counties, yet watch it rise in another county... and we're all under the same restrictions. And that county, unfortunately, is Donegal. Which is, so how can we profess to suppress it nationally? But you agree with the Taoiseach, Pauline. Louise Cairns. Louise, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. Louise, I hope you are as well and your family. Your husband is away.
Yeah, he's away. He's in Dubai. He lives there. I used to live there too, but I came back here with the girls 2 years ago.
Okay.
And he's been home twice since the pandemic started. You know, isolated for the 14 days, did everything he was told to do. I just find it all a little too late to bring in, you know, this testing thing now. If they hadn't done it at the beginning, it would have saved so much heartache.
So is your husband coming home at Christmas, Louise?
Oh, he is. He'll be home on the 2nd of December.
But the Taoiseach said today, don't be booking flights.
Yeah, he's booked. He'll be coming home. He gets a test. They have a fantastic system over there. They actually come to the house. Somebody takes the test. Mm-hmm. They take your bags within 12 hours of a flight to sanitise them. You have to have a test before you get on the flight. And then when he comes home here, 5 days later, he'll go in and pay for a private test. And that's what we intend to do.
But have you planned, when he comes home, is he going to stay in the family home for the 10 days or whatever he's home
for? Yeah, he stays in.
Will there be a gathering on St. Stephen's Day or Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve?
Oh, we don't know anything about that, but he's going to be home with us. And that's the main thing. Unfortunately, Joe, about 7 weeks ago, he lost his sister. And if all this testing had been in place back then, he would have made it home and made it to the funeral, where from the time we found out it wasn't good, 14 days later, dead and buried. And he wouldn't have even made it to the funeral.
Which is a terrible pit. And we'll hear more stories, I can see coming up on the screen, more stories like that later. But Louise, are you saying you're just going to ignore the Tarnish's advice?
Well, he's saying I advise people not. Like, my husband is coming home for Christmas. Like, that's just end of. He's booked. Like, are they going to say now, okay, we're not going to let any airlines fly in? I don't think they can.
Well, you can. A government can basically shut down the...
If you do everything you're supposed to do, arrive into this country with a test taken 72 hours before you fly, and then, as they say, you go on the government website, every country outside the EU is listed as a red country, which means 5 days after you land, you go and take another test. I just don't see what the problem is. If everybody does that, we intend to do that.
But again, I come back to this case that Donegal is twice the 14
days. Donegal is in
the north, but it's in the Republic.
Of course, it's going to affect everywhere. But travelling in, if you do what you're told, I don't see what the problem is.
Okay, but you're saying your husband's coming home. Come hell or high water. Okay. Louise, thanks indeed. And kind regards to you and your family. Mary,
cheers.
Renee, and thanks, Louise. Mary, Renee, and good afternoon. Joe at rt.ie from anywhere in the world. Mary, tell us your story and why you agree with the Tarnish. Is that correct? Am I reading?
I totally agree with him. I know it's hard at Christmas for families. Like, my own son lives abroad in Switzerland. But I lost my father and my brother this year. Mm-hmm. My brother died on June 5th, or 4th, sorry. And my father died 4 weeks later during the first lockdown.
Yeah.
I'd give anything to have them back. We have such.
Yeah.
We've done so well on the second lockdown. I totally admire Tony Houlihan. We've done so well,
mm-hmm.
and you can see what's going on in America. My brother died in Chicago. Can't bring him home.
And did he die unexpectedly, Mary?
He died unexpectedly. He died of a heart attack.
Okay.
In his 50s, and we can't bring him home.
When did your father die?
He died 4 weeks later.
Oh, God.
And the day before his 94th birthday, and I spoke with Frank Curry about that on Tip FM, because mm-hmm. I'm really, really, so upset about all this posturing about travel and holidays and, the virus coming back from Spain. When your family member dies, you'll never get them back. And I know people know that.
Yeah.
They know that. You can't argue with that one. If the Tarnish is saying this is the advice and stuff, right, okay, do you want
to... I think one of the things that's upsetting people is it's neither fish nor fowl, neither one nor the other, it seems. The government, the Tarnish, who's the Deputy Prime Minister, said...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's not the Minister for Health, but he's saying, if I was you, I wouldn't be booking flights. And then he references a TV programme that he saw the other night. But I think what people are looking for is clear instructions. Clear guidelines where you say, please, in the national interest, it's 6 weeks. I know a lot of people are booking near to the 1st of December. A lot of people are booking for Christmas and the government is saying, please don't come home. Now, is that too hard for people to hear, Mary? That's the problem.
Look, I know myself, I'd love my son and his wife and their children to come home for Christmas. Of course I would. But, I don't think the Irish people are that stupid. No, there are. There is an element of society who doesn't give a goddamn, and we've seen all that on the media. But when you lose somebody, your parent or your sibling, you know, that really drives it home. That really drives it home. Yeah. I think people just need to, you know, suck it in for this.
But I'm thinking your family gathering this year, Mary.
Non-existent.
Will you be lamenting the passing of your father and your brother within 4 weeks of each other? That'll be it. It's important for people to.
I won't be doing anything this Christmas. This year has been, like, without losing Dad and without losing James, I it would have been a hard enough year, and I know it's been hard for everybody.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
And how do you envisage spending Christmas Day, Mary?
Very quietly. And, you know, I remember my mother saying to me when I was younger, and I used to get cross with her, oh, Christmas is sad. Oh, it's a sad time. But I know now what she was talking about. Like, I mean, I suppose she was thinking about her own mother and her memories of Christmas. But this year has been just the worst of all.
And do you see, I don't know whether you're of a religious persuasion, Mary. Do you see yourself attending a religious service on Christmas Day?
Yeah, I was always kind of, well, I was brought up in that kind of, in that world, and I was very involved in liturgical music and all that stuff. Okay. But, you know, like, the reality of what's happened over the last couple of months, you know, sit you down and you just stand back and...
Okay.
I don't know what I'm going to do, to be honest, this Christmas, you know, but, Joe, like, when I hear people talking about and fighting about, you know, coming home, like, don't travel through airports. Don't bother with travel this year. Wait until the summer or next Christmas. 12 months is fine. You'll see your family again. Mm. But when you lose your family, you'll never see them.
But the other thing is, well, you see, the Taoiseach didn't say don't book flights for Christmas. What he said today was don't book flights yet for Christmas. So there's that.
Stuff to us all the way through the, you know, lockdown. You know, we got the first
But you're saying people are prepared to be much stricter sometimes than the government are saying. They are, anyway.
I think people are very 50, smart, 50 you know, and I do think that people need to be a bit smarter now. Like, I mean, you might want to see your children and your family at Christmas, Joe, but to be honest, I sacrifice, you know, one Christmas holiday
to see
my family again.
For health.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Mary. Kind regards. 51551, Marchant.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie, Patsy O'Sullivan is in Thurles. Patsy.
Hi, Joe. Tarnish
is saying don't book flights for Christmas yet.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't believe it. Does he think we're all robots? That's my point. I have a daughter in London, and it's not just the coming home from our point of view at this end. It's just the thoughts of... Like some of your previous speakers said, young people being left in apartments on their own for Christmas while their colleagues, you know, and friends are gone to their own families in various parts of England. And they're just left, you know, you have to think of young people and their mental health as well. And he just announces this now. Well, I can tell you she has her flight booked for early December to allow her 14 days isolation, you know. And I would hope that would go ahead, but it's just the way he came out with that today. I just felt like, you know, with all the regulations, we had adhered to everything because we had this one light to look forward to. And now he's just kind of tried to pull the plug on that at such a late stage. That's my feeling on it anyway. I think it's just handled so badly and it's just so unfair to everybody who's doing everything right and, you know, went through the long summer.
And who are today's? You mentioned 1967, remember 67. But who are today's emigrants?
Well, you see, the young people today, Joe, and they're all well-educated, God knows, and that's fantastic. But as some of your previous speakers said, perhaps if they had the choice, some would work in Ireland, some wouldn't, because there's more opportunities abroad. But that said, I just think there is a distinct line between people going on holidays to Spain or wherever, and your own people abroad that wish to come home. You know, there has to be a distinction made there. And he's just kind of made this broad statement, you know, don't book flights. I wouldn't advise to book flights. And I mean, what world is he living in anyway? On the 11th of November, most people would have their flights booked for Christmas if you want to get it at any reasonable rate, regardless of what part of the country or what part of the world you're coming from.
It's the 12th, the 12th of never today. You're 12th of November. It's getting very late to book. Very late.
Exactly.
Okay, Patsy, stay with us. Patricia O'Reilly. Patricia, you were listening to Patrick or John McNamara earlier on from Saudi Arabia.
Yes, I was just feeling terribly sorry for him because I too have a daughter, actually like the last lady, coming from London. Now, she has her flight booked a long time. And I know there's been a lot of sadness and I know there are a lot of people who are going to be without people this Christmas, like that last poor lady. But this is a family Christmas, and it's all we've had to look forward to for the last few months. We have followed all the rules, and when she comes home, we've already intended isolating her when she comes home. She can have the test, hopefully, before she comes. But either way, she can isolate with us here for the week that she is home at Christmas. And then, when she's gone, we will continue to isolate to make sure that we don't mix with anybody else. Okay. We are all taking the proper precautions, and you can't just say nobody can come home. If people are coming home prepared to take the precautions, I think it's just crazy saying that.
And if your daughter didn't get home, Patricia, from
London, would be completely alone in a flat in London because her flatmates are English, Welsh, and they will all be going home to their own families. She would be completely alone, and that is not going to happen.
And what about Gail, who said, suck it up?
I just think that they haven't been there, as the man says, got the T-shirt. They don't know what it's like to have a child that has gone away like that, you know, that they can't come home for Christmas. It's just crazy.
Okay.
If they were coming home to go to pubs and go partying, yes. But no, they're not. They're coming home to spend a few days with their family.
Okay. Yeah,
their movements will be restricted.
Okay, thanks, Patricia. I need to get to so many people. Tom Bourne has contacted us from Washington, D.C. Tom, your point, please, in one go.
Yeah, Joe, just one quick point there. Just want to concur with other callers there as far as the whole mental health issue. As we all know, like Christmas, on everyone, it's a tough time of year for mental health and depression and suicide and whatnot, but especially on immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a desperate time for them, especially young immigrants. Now, I'm here 30 years, so it's a bit easier for me. But to separate them from their families, I just think it's cruel. And I'm watching every weekend. I'm watching GAA. I'm hurling football. I'm watching golf. I'm watching rugby. And it's burning my bridges a little bit to hear what's coming from the Taoiseach there when there's so much. I could name 50 other things, literally, that could be shut down first. But separating people... families is not one of them. And
what do you think of the message coming out that way today? Don't book your flights for Christmas yet.
I think it's hypocritical at best. I mean, you talk about the US separating families in cages, but the Irish government wants to separate families at Christmas. I know that the logistics side of it is different as far as booking flights and everything else, but I just think it's cruel. I know it's a strong term, but it is a human rights violation. You just can't separate families, and they have to find a logistical way around it just for 1 week in the year.
Okay. That's just
my point on it.
Okay, Tom, point well made and succinctly. 51551, Marshall.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Áine O'Neill, what's your message to the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar? Go ahead, Áine.
Yeah, what concerns me, I have two sons living abroad, and for a member of our family, it could be his last Christmas, and it's precious time. That's people I'm worried about, very, very old people. It might be their last Christmas, and certainly in our house, it could be one of members of my family's last Christmas.
And what do you think of the way the Taoiseach has said it today? Don't book. Well, remember foot and mouth 67. Don't book yet.
I personally think people should be tested, come home, play it safe, but be allowed to visit their families.
As your sons in Barcelona and Singapore, have they booked their flights home?
Sorry?
You have a son in Barcelona and Singapore. Have they booked their flights home?
Neither of them have booked yet, but okay, they're hoping to very soon.
Okay, okay. But your point is, there's someone in your family, and given the world we live in, unfortunately, with 2,000 more people dead this year than anyway. Yeah,
it normal. Could be his last Christmas.
Okay.
And
okay,
having
not.
Them home,
hopefully not, Anya. Hopefully not. Yeah,
would
hopefully
be not. Just precious for okay. us as a family.
Okay, okay. Thanks indeed, Anya. Damien Chanel and Sab, Maeve Mooney was the BCO. Richard Byrne, research. Rebecca Meehan, produce. Ray Darcy next.